Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today we hear Dr. Beakey's sermon on Psalm 22, verses 30 to 31. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Dr. Beakey has already introduced the psalm, and our recording begins as he considers the second part of it, and particularly this promise. As you listen, may the Spirit give you illumination to understand the meaning of this text and to apply it to your life.
Verse 22. There is a wonderful turning point. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. It's a startling turning point. Verse 21 says, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. What a glorious thing this is. In this post-resurrection age, we commemorate that Jesus Christ of the seed of David is raised from the dead. And he declares in the midst of every congregation around the world, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, his glorious victory, his glorious salvation, his glorious name and the name of his Father and the name of the Spirit in the midst of the congregation. He praises himself and the triune God. And so this God, this glorious Savior, is the one who gives this promise as the psalm wraps up and comes to this crescendo conclusion, this glorious conclusion, this happy conclusion for parents, godly parents, who want to raise children in the fear of God. And it begins this way, verse 30, a seed shall serve him because of this glorious resurrected Jesus. Because the seed of the church is in the hands of the living Christ. My dear parents, this is overwhelming. You see, the salvation of your child does not depend upon what you do with your hands, but your child is in his hands. The Lord has given you this child. The Lord has blessed you to this moment with this child. The Lord has laid this child in your arms to care for, to help, to give them their needs, their young lives. This child is a miracle in a thousand ways. Well, the God of miracles can do the second miracle of the great new birth as well. Your child was fearfully and wonderfully made with 650 muscles in that little body, 100 or more joints, 60,000 miles of blood vessels and capillaries, 206 bones, 50% of them being in their hands and feet. And when they're a baby, 300 bones, 94 of them fused together during childhood. This child is a miracle, a gift of God. In an average lifetime, this child's heart, if lives to be in the 70s, if the Lord tarries, this child's heart will beat 2.8 billion times and will pump 60 million gallons of blood. That's 80 gallons an hour. It's like filling an empty gas tank every 15 minutes of the entire lifetime. This child has 1,000 completely new skins over a lifetime. This child will eat 100,000 pounds of food if the child's spared. 13,000 gallons of liquid. child has 4 million hairs on its body. The brain has 100 billion, not million, nerve cells. The lungs have 100 million little air sacs, just perfectly made, wonderfully made. Now the God who did this tremendous miracle in giving you this baby, without anything wrong, of all the millions and billions of body parts, says the one thing that is most wrong, the only thing that's wrong, the soul. I can remake that. I can give regeneration. And I will draw. I have a drawing power. I will draw a seed, the seed, the covenant seed whom I desire to bless, the covenant seed of believers. I will draw that seed to myself. I will do this glorious wonder. The God of whom we speak to when we cry out, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? With this wonderful body, wonderfully made, but with a soul that sins against this God in all my body parts, with my eyes, my feet, my hands, every part of me sins against this God, has broken covenant with God, lost the image of God. This God desires, yes, promises that he will take that seed and give them new hearts so that they shall serve him. What a glorious thing the covenant of grace is. What a glorious God we have. If it depended on us, parents, none of our children would ever be saved. We have our own sin. Our children have their sin. The world is enticing. The devil is alluring. There's so many enemies. There's so much against our children. But you see, there's one who is for the seed of the church. And that one who is for the seed of the church is more mighty than all the enemies lined up against them. He is the almighty King of kings. Satan's a fallen angel, but he's the Lord of lords. And he says, a seed shall serve him. He will do it. And so that's your pleading ground. That's your hope. That's your comfort. A seed shall serve him. A seed shall follow, shall keep up the solemn worship of the living God. They shall profess him. They shall obey him. They shall acknowledge him. They shall serve him, their master and their Lord. And you yourselves as parents are living witnesses of that. Today. 26 years ago, this was our pleading ground when we preached this sermon. And now you sit here today and you confess that you serve him. And now you need it for the next generation. But you see, God has no limit on the generations. He says in the Ten Commandments, we heard about this morning, we read again this morning, he says, doesn't he, that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation, but he will show mercy, and literally in the Hebrew, unto thousands of generations to those who love him and keep his commandments. There is nothing so beautiful to the heart of a grandparent or a great-grandparent or a parent to witness from generation to generation the faithful covenant mercies of God when you are so unworthy to receive those mercies in any way, shape, or form. You see, this is our comfort. This is our strength. This is our foundation. This is our promise, the shall of God. A seed shall serve him. Not the shell of us. We have so many shells. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And we fail so many times, again and again, don't we? as parents. We're just amazed. It's amazing when you look back and you think of all the thousands of mistakes you made as parents, and God seems to trump all those mistakes and bless your children beyond better than you raised them many times. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful grace. So God's drawing power. God will draw them. They bear our image as fathers and mothers. God will draw them back to His image. A seed shall serve Him. A seed is given to Christ out of the Father's good pleasure, and Christ vows to work in them and give them back to His Father, drawing them to Himself, keeping His word, presenting them in the great day, saying to them on the judgment day, "Here am I, Father," and all those, all that covenant seed that Thou hast given unto me. With cords of everlasting love have I drawn them. Whether they've wandered far away like Manasseh in the prison house, I will draw them. Or whether they grow up and can't even remember a time where they didn't hate sin or love the Lord Jesus from their very youth, I will draw them. A seed shall serve Him. And so we plead this promise. And what flows out of this promise? It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. That is to say, the Lord is saying here, they shall be numbered, they shall be accounted. The original Hebrew has it this way. They are numbered by the Lord. They are counted to the Lord as His people, as His generation. He has them. He owns them. He will keep them. John Stevenson said, "Every earthly father desires, when surrounded by his family, to behold them all loving and obeying him as a father." But you see, that's what Christ is doing here. He's promising this to his heavenly Father. "I'm going to bring them all around you again, Father. And they will all obey you. And you'll be able to look around in heaven and see the glory of the fulfillment of your huge, huge family that no man can number. Everyone surrounding you, beholding you, loving you, obeying you. A seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation." And it can also be translated this way, for generations, one generation after another. The same word of God is always true from one generation to another. And so parents are sitting here. Some of us who are grandparents feel like it was just a couple blinks ago and we were baptizing you. Life flies by. But one generation, like a wave coming in after another, God takes and draws and confirms His promises. One generation after another, a seed shall serve Him. So, on your knees, parents, on your knees, call on His holy name. He's willing to do it again in the coming generation. He's done it for generation after generation. Don't limit His grace. Be full of expectation. So as you cast the bread upon the waters, the gospel bread, as you teach your children, as you pray with your children, as you say no to them 1,000 times, and they persist in the same sins, same weaknesses, and you're ready to give up, don't give up on the Lord. And don't give up on your child, because the Lord is in control of your child. Keep going. Keep persevering. Keep teaching over, 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 over again. Throw the bread upon the waters. You will find it after many days. You may not find it today. May not find it tomorrow. May not find it next month. May not find it next year. But many days. And when you are weak, when you are unbelieving, just say this text, over and over again. A seed shall serve him. It shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come. They shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall yet be born, that he hath done this. You're not thinking about grandchildren right now. You're just thinking about how to raise your children. But again, blink a few times and your children will be married, humanly speaking, one day. And there'll be another generation, you see. And he shall declare his righteousness unto that generation, that he hath done this, that he's that great and glorious Savior who's committed the gospel to his church from generation to generation. So I have a large expectation in God. Mary Winslow wrote to her son once, she said, if you have two children, don't ask the Lord for one, ask him for two. If you have five, ask him for five. If you have 10, ask him for 10. Don't ever limit God's grace, she said. Come to the Lord, say to the Lord, as my own father used to always pray in our family presence, Lord, don't let one of our children go lost. We want to be an undivided family reserved for the heavenly mansions above. Show thy covenant. Have respect to thy covenant for every child, O Lord, that all our children shall be taught of the Lord in truth. And it's not like this promise hasn't been fought against. Satan has been waging all his power all the years to fight against this promise, to extinguish the church. Hence he got Cain to slay Abel. And then Cain fled away. Look how he tried to cut off the church through Pharaoh to destroy Israel. Or Elijah, I thought he was the only one left. Or Haman, how he tried to destroy the Jews. Or on the cross, how Satan thought he was destroying Jesus. Or through the book of Acts, as the apostles had to suffer and they're jailed. Or think of the martyrs throughout all the days. Think of all the Christians persecuted around the world today. In fact, last week I read an article in a certain periodical that said, in these persecuted countries, there's so much intense persecution like never before in history. They said, the article's title was, Will the Persecutors Be Able to Extinguish Christianity? But the article forgot one thing. Yes, it looks pretty grim in some of those countries, but the article forgot this. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. A church, a seed, shall serve him. God fulfills that not only wonderfully by great numbers of conversions like on the day of Pentecost or in revivals, but he fulfills that also today, one by one, gathered in through the preaching of the word, through the means of grace, through the spiritual disciplines. Oh, what power God has. What encouraging promises. So, a seed shall serve him, and God shall draw them with this power. The text says, they shall come. The seed that belongs to Christ, the seed given to him by his Father, shall come despite every obstacle. They shall be convicted of sin. They shall come to God, crying out for God's communion. They shall seek him. They shall weep. They shall bow at his throne of grace. They shall become lost sinners before a holy God. They shall beg for mercy. But God shall visit them. God shall reveal Christ to them through his word, through the preaching. Seed of the woman shall do battle against the seed of the serpent and gain the victory. How encouraging this promise is. You know, it's sort of like 2 Samuel 3 verse 1. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Isn't it beautiful when you see one of your children converted? That's exactly what happens. First you see some encouraging signs. It doesn't always happen overnight. You say, the Lord seems to be gaining the upper hand. And then there's still battles, but then you see a little later, Satan is getting weaker and weaker. The Lord is getting stronger and stronger. This is God's way. None of his elect seed shall ever go lost. Not even the smallest beginner in grace shall go lost. Amos 9, verse 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. The Holy Spirit will do an effectual work in his drawing sovereign grace, one-sided power. And what happens to a parent when a parent sees this wonderful work? It just breaks you down. It just breaks you down. It's what you long for. It's what you pray for. It's what you can't produce. And then God does it. God does it despite all your parenting flaws and faults. And you just marvel. You just marvel at his goodness. And you say, it's all God. It's all his grace. To him be all the glory. Nothing shall thwart the divine purpose. The chosen shall come. They shall come to life. They shall come to faith. They shall come to pardon. They shall come to Christ. They shall come to heaven. For I will pour out upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Isaiah 44 verse 3. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. They shall come. Now I know there are parents sitting here this morning and you've wept many a tear because your children have not come. They have not come, and they're not coming now, and they didn't come yesterday, and it doesn't look like they're going to come tomorrow. You've tried everything. You tried to raise them in the nurture of the Lord. You know you've made mistakes, of course, but in the main, you've done what you could do. You've tried, and now it seems like everything is a failure. What must you do? You come back here. The seed shall come. They shall come. You plead the covenant. You plead the promises. You don't give up on the Lord. Never. Don't give up begging that young adult, that son or daughter who's living in the world. Don't ever think that God can't draw that son, that daughter. He's almighty. He's almighty. Believe that. Trust that. Plead that. Only because Christ was planted in our human nature, wholly a good seed. He had to die in our nature to bring forth the seed to serve him. And he does so. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So Jesus died. But through death, he got the victory. And so Abel, not Cain, Abel shall come. Not Esau, but Jacob shall come. Some of the most surprising ones come, you see. Rahab shall come. Manasseh shall come. Saul of Tarsus shall come. Circumcised Jews shall come. Uncircumcised Gentiles shall come. God can bring your son, your daughter, back as well. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. The psalmist cries out. Let that be your hope for your babies, for your young boys and girls, for your teenagers, for those who've left your home, for them all. And what shall allure them? They shall come to what? Ultimately, you can put it in one word, to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is their substitute as their Savior. It's really Him and his righteousness that is our salvation. And so we read in the last part of the text, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. Oh, what a beautiful thing. When your children, your grandchildren speak to you the gospel, declare the righteousness of Christ. Say to you, I will go forth in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. What a blessing when your children understand the gospel and believe it with all their heart. Understand the passive obedience of Jesus, paying for all our sins through his suffering, and the active obedience of Jesus, obeying the law perfectly, so that through that double obedience, when a sinner believes in Christ alone, that will be imputed to that sinner, and the sinner's sins imputed to Jesus, and there'll be that holy exchange, so that the gates of hell will go closed, and the gates of heaven go open. Oh, what a glorious thing the righteousness of Jesus Christ is. And then to think that your children shall declare that righteousness to a people that shall not yet, that are not yet born. And maybe to people that you never see, because you may well die before that generation is born. As a grandparent, as a great-grandparent. But your children will go on, and your grandchildren will go on, proclaiming that righteousness to generations not yet born. And have you ever thought about that? What it would be like in heaven to meet great, 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 great grandchildren that you never met on earth from one generation to another, who all declared the righteousness of Christ, wrought upon by the Spirit, drawn in fulfillment of the promises, yes, to 1,000 generations, if the Lord Jesus tarries. And so who gets the credit? Your prayers, your tears, your... No, 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 no. You failed 1,000 times. The text concludes this way. And shall deliver his righteousness, shall declare his righteousness, rather, unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. The Lord does it all. And that's our comfort. That's our strength. And that's our security. What a glorious gospel we have. What a glorious covenant-keeping God. What a glorious five-fold shell in this text. So let me read it once more. Once more. And accenting the shells. And you plead it that way, you pray it that way, and you'll find comfort in it. A seed shall serve him. That seed shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come, and they shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Believe that, and live it out, and say to God, blessed seed, that serves him forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."